The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you so much. I appreciate Brother and Mrs. Palmore doing an outstanding job with our music program and always doing a super job. Tonight at 6 o'clock, I'll be speaking on how should we as believers react to our present cultural changes. That'll be tonight at 6 o'clock. Then on Wednesday night, I'll be preaching on understanding angels. We're in a series right now on angels. I hope you'll avail yourself to be able to come and learn about that. That'll be this coming Wednesday night. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, as we read just a moment ago in verse 17, the Bible says, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." And of course, here was a time when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided that they were going to believe in God and trust God for all that God would have them to do. They were bound. They were thrown into a fiery furnace. The Bible says that as the king came, that he looked and he did not see one, two, or three, but he saw another as well. The Bible says, "Liken unto the Son of God." And so we understand here that God will be with us through the fires. With that in mind, I'd like to be able to speak this morning on God is able. God is able. So many times I've seen in our lives as a family that God has proven himself to be able to take care and to guide in every single situation. We serve a God today that is able. He's not a dead God. He's very much alive. And can I tell you, he's a God that will work in our lives if we allow God to be able to work in our lives. Let me draw your attention to a couple of statements here. Look at Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, where the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." So think about this. Our God is able to hear and answer prayers. Our God is able to hear and answer prayers. I remember coming up as a young man, and of course, 18 years of age, I really began to question and really began to try to figure out what was going on in my own heart. And I remember pushing that window up there in Hampstead, Maryland, as a teenage boy at the age of 18 and laying on my bed. And I remember praying just a short prayer, "God, if there's more to it than this." I was very much religiously involved, but yet had no understanding of my need of Christ, nor understanding who Christ was as far as could be my Savior. So I pushed that window up that night and I said, "God, if there's more to it than this, please show me." And the very next night, I was in that Reese's Carnival ground, and David Lee stopped me and asked me a question I never heard before in my life. And that is, "If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" I never heard that, but that's what I was searching for. I wanted to know for sure that if I were to take my last breath while here on earth, that my next breath would most certainly be in heaven without question. And so that night he took the scriptures and he showed me what I needed to do to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And I bowed my heart as an 18-year-old boy and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, can I tell you, that very night started a journey for me that I would never even desire to replace, not one bit. Because that very night as I became a believer and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not only did he save my soul, but now I became a child of God. And being one of the children of God, certainly I could call upon my Heavenly Father and ask my Heavenly Father things that I could not ask before. So we understand this. We understand that God is an able God, and may I say, God is able to hear and answer our prayers. And when I bowed my heart to receive Christ as Savior, God certainly heard, and he answered that prayer. But now it started a new journey. Now it started a new direction. Now I started to walk down a new path, and I learned that you could pray directly to God, where the Bible says that there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So I begin to learn how to pray and begin to ask God to work in my life and begin to ask God for things that I never had. I remember the very first prayer I ever prayed in my life was I prayed for a Bible, and I wanted a Bible. And I remember praying for a Bible, and I remember how God specifically gave me a Bible at 18 years of age. And you know, there was times where I prayed and said, God, I want you to come through because I really need you to show yourself strong in my life. Well, that time I did not know what to do as far as buying a Bible. And so I said, God, would you please give me a Bible? And I remember praying for that. And as I bowed down beside my bed at night and I prayed for that, God gave me a brown Scofield Bible. I still have it today, and the leather is all hardened, but I still keep it today. And I remember that being my first answer to prayer. I remember praying how I wanted to go to Bible college and how I wanted to learn more about the Bible. I did not go to Bible college to become a preacher. I went to Bible college because that was the place where somebody told me that I could learn the Scriptures quickly. And I wanted to learn the Scriptures. I did not know the Scriptures. I wanted to learn the Scriptures to know how to please God. And so I went to Bible college. I went to Bible college. I was thinking only 1 year to be able to quickly be able to learn the Scriptures. And I remember going to Bible college and staying there. And the second year, I decided to stay. And as I stayed there, the second year, God spoke to my heart about preaching the Bible. But I remember showing up at Bible college, and it was different because everybody had suits and everybody had ties. And I remember my second answer to prayer that I could physically see that God gave me a suit. And I've often told about the illustration of the suit. And you have to be careful what you pray for because you just might get it. And I remember praying, and all of a sudden somebody came up and they gave me a suit. It was bright, fluorescent, pea green. I mean, you could see me from 3 blocks away. And all of a sudden, I walked into the Bible class, and everybody was smiling at me. And I thought, you know, boy, they're jealous of my suit, you know. I mean, I've got the brightest suit on campus, and they just want my suit, you know. I know what that is. And so it was back in 1980 when God answered that prayer. And I remember walking in there, and of course, I'd lived in Millers, Maryland. I just finished working a rodeo. I went to Bible college. I showed up. I had a flannel shirt on, had a cowboy hat on, had my gray snakeskin boots it was on, and I showed up at Bible college, and I thought that's where people dressed everywhere. And I found out that they didn't dress that way in Bible college. You know, they dressed like business executives and stuff like that. I couldn't remember ever wearing a tie in my life. And I went to Bible college, and everybody was in ties. And so here I was, and I was in Bible college. I prayed for that suit, and God gave me a pea green suit, and it was one that had the reversible vest back in those days in the 80s, and had came with 2 pair of pants, and it came with a reversible jacket. Amen. And one side of the jacket was checkered. The other side of the jacket was just solid green. And I tell you what, I was styling and profiling. I found myself a striped tie that would go with the solid, but then I found out it did not go with that which was the checkered side, and it gave people even more reasons to laugh. And I found the guy that laughed the most. I just kind of figured he wanted it, and so I learned my lesson about praying. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not, and so I guess you ought to ask specifically. Amen. I mean, pray specifically for what you believe that God would have you to have. And so I learned that. And so my second prayer was, dear God, give me a blue suit. God, would you give me a blue suit? And then God, would you give me a black suit? I'd like to have a black suit. And so sure enough, God answered prayer. I didn't have to pay anything for it. And God gave me a blue suit, and God gave me a black suit. And so that guy that was laughing so much about my suit that was green, I just knew he wanted it. And so I gave it to him as a gift from the Lord. He never did wear it, but I gave it to him. But I remember in Bible college, I remember working at UPS, and I remember God answering prayer there. And my brother gave me a 12-speed, sort of like it was an English racing bike, you know, that you pedal. And he gave me that, and he said, you know, you can use this. And I remember him getting that to me, and I remember that. And I had a burden to get people to church. And I just couldn't convince anybody to ride my bike to church with me. And so I worked at UPS at night, and I did not mind riding the bike, but I told the Lord, Lord, if you would give me a car, I'll pick people up. I'll use it for your honor. I'll use it for your glory. And I'll pick people up, and I'll bring people to church in that car, I promise. And I remember praying for a car, and God gave me a car. And these were first answers to prayer. But I remember the days of God answering those prayers. And God gave me a car, and the motor blew up. And then 6 months later, I prayed for another car, and God gave me another car, and the transmission went out. And so now I'm a year into it, and I prayed for another car, and God gave me another car. It was a Plymouth Duster jacked up in the back. It had an orange stripe down the side of it. It was blue, and it had blue leather, and the brakes went out from underneath that. I mean, they flew up underneath the steering column. I couldn't find them, and went through a stop sign and wound up hitting a tree. And then I said, "Dear Lord, you know, I was praying for these things, and, you know, I never thought, you know, you ought to pray specifically, like pray for a car that the motor works. I'm learning all these things about prayer. And so I'm learning to pray for a car where the transmission works. I'm learning to pray for a car where the brakes stay in the proper place." So now I started praying specifically because I knew that God answers prayer specifically. I knew that. I'd prayed for a suit, and God did answer prayer according to the way I prayed it. Yes. I prayed for that Bible, and God did answer prayer according to the way I prayed it. Yes. I prayed that God would give me a car, and He did, and then He did again, and then He did again. And so now I'm in Bible college, and I'm praying for my fourth car. I never had to pay for any of them, but I'm praying for my fourth car, and I'm just asking God, "God, would you give me a car?" And He did. But I prayed specifically. I said, "Lord, would you give me a car where the motor works? And would you give me a car where the transmission works? And would you give me a car where the brakes work? And would you give me a car that we can make it down the road, and it won't give me any mechanical problems whatsoever?" And God gave me all these things. It was the ugliest car you ever saw in your life. But God answered those prayers. Now, can I tell you, you have a God that hears and answers prayer. He says, "Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." And it says, and while they are speaking, I will hear. And we understand that God is a hearing and answering God. Psalm 4 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "But know that the Lord, He hath set apart him," it says, "that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear," it says, "when I call on him." And so God is the one that hears the prayers. God is the one that answers the prayers. Well, I remember hearing my wife give testimony about how she had went forward in a youth camp down in Florida, and how she had surrendered her life to be able to marry whoever God would have her to marry and to enter into the ministry. And I remember here I was up in Maryland, and that's about a 26-hour drive from there to where she lived in Florida. And I remember me praying at a youth camp and just saying, "God, whatever you would have for my life." And God took her in Florida and me in Maryland and brought us together. That's an answer to prayer. I remember the doctors telling my dear wife and me, saying that, you know, we don't think that it would be wise to have children because my dear wife has a hole in the bottom of her heart, just a small hole, but it could be possibly dangerous. And we remember hearing that, and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and it just seemed like God just kept impressing it and impressing it and impressing it. And God gave us four wonderful children, and my wife is healthy. And God did that. See, God is a God that hears, and God is a God that answers prayer. We remember going into our children's bedroom, and we would place our hands on their heads, and we would pray that they would be able to receive Christ at an early age, and that they would fulfill the will of God in going into the will of God, whatever that might be in their lives. And we remember praying such things, and then we watched our children get saved and receive Christ as Savior, and God hears and He answers prayer. I remember praying for mom and daddy to get saved, and how my dad was hardened to the gospel and wanted nothing to do with Christ, but we continued to pray, and I remember mama getting saved first, and then daddy getting saved after mama getting saved as that which is a husband and that which is a wife, and that was a God that heard and answered prayer. I remember in 12 years of evangelism and traveling on the road, and oftentimes we would pray that God would supply the funds to be able to make it to the next meeting and would provide the food that we needed. And then as we started traveling to the mission fields beyond, and I remember God hearing and answering prayer. And by the way, it doesn't matter how old you are this morning. It doesn't matter how young you are this morning. You still have a God that hears and answers prayer. You think about the prophets of Baal, how they shouted and then they screamed and they danced and they cut themselves and they called out to their God, and God did not answer because their God was not a God that could answer. But then you had Elijah that came and Elijah prayed and God answered prayer. You think about those that were the sailors that was on the ship with Jonah, how they prayed to their gods as the storms were raging. And yet Jonah prayed to his God, and his God is the one that delivered him. You think about the wise men that they considered themselves to be in the days of Daniel, and how the merchants would pray, and they would go and they would pray and they would ask God to do certain things, and God did not answer their prayer, but God did answer the prayer of Daniel. You think about the followers of Dagon, how they prayed and no answer came. You think about the God of the Egyptians, how they prayed and no answer came. You think about the God of the Philistines, how they prayed and no answer came. You think about the God of the Babylonians, how they prayed and no answer came. You think about the ones that worshiped that which is the goddess Diana and how they prayed, but no answer came. You think about those that were the priests of Baal, how they prayed and no answer came. But in every single situation, you see how God's people came together and how God's people prayed and answer came. You know why? Because God is a God that hears and answers the prayers of those that believe him. Now, can I say, not only is he a God that hears and answers prayer, not only is he able to do that, but our God is able to help us with our problems. We have a God that loves us enough that can help us with every problem that we have. The Bible says here in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, as I'll reiterate it, the Bible says, "And if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us." Can I tell you, no matter what problems you find yourself in, you might find yourself in your own fiery furnace. You may find yourself in your own times of trouble. You may find that there's a time in your life where you seem like that you are surrounded by nothing but negativity, hurt, and despair. But God is the one that can take and answer prayer and even help with those problems. Moses stood before Pharaoh and God proved himself to be able. There was the children of Israel that stood before the Red Sea and God proved himself to be able. There was Joshua that stood before Jericho and God proved himself to be able. There was Elijah that stood on Mount Carmel and God proved himself to be able. There was Gideon that stood before the Midianites and God proved himself to be able. There was David that stood before Goliath and God proved himself to be able. There was Daniel that stood before the lion's den, and God said and did prove himself to be able. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace we talked about, God proved himself. See, if you have financial problems, I'm saying that God is able. If you have physical problems, God is able. If you have family problems, God is able. You have job problems, and God's able. The emotional problems, or the friendship problems, or the school problems, or the marital problems, or the addiction problems, or the economical problems, or the discipline problems, or the relationship problems, or the medical problems, or that which is a mechanical problem, or stress from everyday occurrences. Can I tell you, God is able to help you no matter what you face. Since God is able to help you, then perhaps what we need to do is go to him and ask him for that help. He can help in every circumstance. Doesn't matter what the situation is, he can help. There is no obstacle that God himself cannot overcome. There's no difficulty that is too big. There's no burden that is too burdensome. There is no problems. There is no odds. There is nothing that God himself cannot do. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20, the Bible says, "And unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So he is able to help us with those things that are coming around us. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 20, the Bible says, O Daniel, it's a servant of the living God. It says, thy God, it says that thou servest continually, is able to deliver thee from the lions. We understand that when the children of Israel was facing the Red Sea, we understand when the Egyptian army was closing, if you would please, there on them, that God was the one that helped. We understand that when Elijah was facing that which was his opponents and those that were anger and bitter towards God because of the fact that they were not getting their prayers answered, though they would take and cut themselves and dance and scream and all sorts of things, and they would get vocal and shout, we understand that God did come through for Elijah. We understand that there was Gideon, and God delivered Gideon with only 300 men. We understand that David, as he stood before that masterful giant of war, Goliath, that God is the one that delivered David. We understand that God is the one that is able to help us no matter what we face in our life. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28. The Bible talks about how God blessed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In verse 29, the Bible says, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, it says, which speak anything amiss against God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut into pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill. And it says, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. So even that which was the king had a change of heart, because there was individuals that in the fire, God proved himself to be able to deliver them. What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have said, as those brisky fellas that were coming, that were very, very strong and moving so briskly along, hurriedly to be able to grab them and hurriedly to be able to throw them in the burning fiery furnace. What if all of a sudden they begin to cry out and say, no, we just don't think that God can deliver us. What would have happened? The nation would have probably still been the same. But can I tell you, because they were the ones that did trust God through the fire, they were the ones that did put their trust in the Lord God that could answer prayer, and the Lord God that could help them with their problems, and the Lord God that could be able to bring them out of that burning fiery furnace. Now, all of a sudden, the king of the land looks up and he says, there is no other God except the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, would to God it would be that way in our nation today. Amen. Would to God that Christians would pray, and would to God that Christians would be kind, and would to God that Christians would take a stand, and would to God that Christians would say, now, wait a minute, our God can, our God can. Our God can, our God can. But we live in a society where we walk around and it's like we don't believe that God can. But can I tell you, on the authority of God's word, God can still answer prayer and God can still come through. And God is not bound, but yet God is the God that can take and come through no matter what problems you have, and he is an able God. Can I say, statement number one, that God is able to hear and answer prayer? Can I say, God is able to help us with our problems? Statement number three, God is able to heal his people. God is able to heal his people. Listen to what it says here. Over in Psalm 103 and in verse 2, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, I've been a preacher now for 31 years. And in 31 years, I preached a lot of funerals. A lot of funerals. 31 years I've counseled a lot of people. 31 years I've helped a lot of marriages. 31 years I've helped young people and giving them guidance from the principles of the Word of God. 31 years. 31 years my dear wife and I have given ourselves to the cause of Christ here in the United States and on many, many foreign fields around the lands of our world. 31 years. Now, can I tell you, during those times, we have seen God greatly benefit his people. Yes. We've seen God answer prayer, from giving somebody a pair of shoes to giving somebody a house to making somebody's life last longer. Oh, can I remind you, please, there was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was laying on the bed, and Hezekiah was about to die. And by the way, listen to me. God said it's appointed unto man once to die. Appointed. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. So God has an appointed time for each one of us. Now, by the way, don't take advantage of that and do something stupid. Well, you know, I know God's going to preserve me until the day that he calls me home. So I'm just going to walk out in front of a Mack truck because it don't matter. The Mack truck will win and you will lose. So don't do risky things that's foolish. But according to the scriptures, God has an appointed time for us. There was an appointed time that God had for Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was nigh unto death. The Bible says that he curled up in his bed and he had his back towards the open room and he had his face toward the wall. And Hezekiah knew that God answered prayer. Hezekiah started to name all the things he'd done for him. God, I did this, and God, I did this, and God, you knew I did this, and God, you knew I did this, and God, you knew I did this. And then after he had named the things that he had done for his God, he said, now, God, would you please add to my life days? And the Bible says that God reached down, and God added 15 years to that man's life. You say, whoa, you mean God could do that? Yes, I'm saying we have an able God. Amen. See, God is the one that still does hear and answer prayer. God is the one that still helps us with our problems. And God is the one that still heals his people. The Bible says in verse 3 of Psalm 103 in verse 3, the Bible says, who it says, forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So God is the one that can do that. I remember Johnny Bryant. Brother Bryant was a good man. I've only been pastoring this church now for 6 years, but when I first came, Johnny Bryant, never will forget, he is one of the friendliest type of fellows I ever saw in my life. He'd stand out in the lobby out there, and everybody would come in, they'd meet Johnny. I mean, boy, he'd smile. He's just a little fellow, you know, but he was full of spunk. He'd smile, and he'd greet them, and he'd shake their hand. Now, I don't know if he knew he had cancer before I came, but I remember the days of the cancer taking a toll on him. He was the head of the ushers, and he'd sit back there. And I remember Johnny. He'd come forward, and he'd walk ever so slow. I mean, the cancer was just ridden his body, you know, and he'd just walk ever so slow. And just a young man as far as his age is concerned, but just nothing but skin and bone. And he walked down that aisle. I remember him coming to me one time outside the office, and we sat there in those chairs outside the office. Used to be black chairs out there now, they're burgundy. And we'd sat outside the office one night, and we're just talking, you know, as friend and friend, and he started to cry. And he said, preacher, he said, I just can't do it no more. He said, it hurts me to walk down that aisle. And he said, but I tell you, I don't want to give it up. He said, I've been an usher for so long. He said, I don't want to give it up. He says, the only thing I do to serve Jesus Christ, the only thing I do, he said, I just don't want to give it up. And I said, now look, Brother Bryant, look, I tell you what, I think that you could captain the thing from the chair. We got good ushers. They love you, and they respect you. And I think you could captain it from the chair. Hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you sit in the chair, just tell those guys what to do? And they'll be happy to do whatever you tell them to do. You've earned it. And so he sat back there, and he liked it too, by the way. Man, he'd have those guys snapping just like that. Matter of fact, they snapped when they weren't supposed to snap. And boy, he had them just so, you know. And can I tell you, until his dying day, when he could not even come to church, he sat back in that chair back there, and he just captained it from the chair. Can I tell you that our God is a God that can work in lives? I remember we got the deacons together, and we practiced in the book of James chapter 3, where it talks about you anoint somebody with oil and you pray for them, and the God of heaven can hear that faith prayer, and God, if he so chooses to do so, God could heal that person. And so we, as deacons, we do this as pastor and deacons, you know. And so went back in the room. And I still believe to this day that God expanded the life of a Johnny Bryant for just a couple more months. Now, what is that? That's a God that loves you enough to hear and answer your prayer. Amen. See, when your back is against the wall, you have a God that's right there with you. Amen. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Right. He said, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You have to understand that God cares for you. God cares for you to hear and answer your prayer. God cares for you to help with the problems. And God cares enough for you to be able to heal his people. Can I tell you, God wants to work in, and by the way, sometimes God chooses not to heal. Did you know that? Did you know that? I remember one guy, people came in and said, would you pray that we could have babies? We can't have babies. We just can't have babies. Will you pray? Please, will you pray? We want to have babies. We won't have babies. We can't have babies. As a husband and wife, can't have babies. Would you pray, Pastor? And the pastor prayed. And boy, they started having babies. I mean, one came and another came and another came and another came. Finally, came back to the pastor and said, can you reverse that prayer? Now, wait a minute. Watch this. But he's a God that hears and answers prayer. When Jonathan was just a little boy, and we lived in Mississippi, and the boys were born in Mississippi, and our precious daughter was born in Tennessee, and he was our firstborn in Mississippi, had a fever, and we immediately, as young parents would, we bound him up, you know, and we're taking him over to Forest General Hospital, and we got in the hospital parking lot, and I looked at my dear wife, and she looked at me, and I said, you know, sweetheart, we haven't even prayed because we got so caught up in it, you know. We haven't even prayed. And boy, we prayed, and God answered prayer, took the fever away. You say, well, what happened? Well, he's alive today, he's sitting right there. You know, he still has fevers from time to time, but God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Now, can I tell you, God is a God that will take and work in our lives in the area of hearing and answering prayer. God is a God that works in our lives and is able to help us with problems, able to heal his people. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. God is a God that's able to humble us in our pride. Humble us in our pride. You know, sometimes we become proud people. It's funny, you know, when we have nothing, we pray for everything. When we have everything, we pray for nothing. During the days of the Depression, can I tell you the churches were fuller? Because God's people had nothing, they went to the God of heaven, and God blessed them. Can I tell you, when the Israelites had nothing, they prayed, but when they had everything, they decided they didn't need that much of God. Now, let's not be a people. God has blessed our nation. I still say that America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And God's been good to us. I travel all these foreign countries. I preach in these different countries and different places around the world. And can I tell you, there's no place like the United States of America with all of her faults and all of her failures. But can I tell you also that God is the one that can humble us from our pride. I pray that we never get to the point and to the place and have the arrogancy where we think that we are self-made. Because the same God that gave us breath is the same God that can take our breath. The same God that gave us riches is the same God that can take our riches. The same God that gave us energy is the same God that can take our energy. The same God that gave us ability and talents is the same God that can stricken us from those very things. Now I'm saying, and let me close. We see here in Daniel chapter 4 and in verse 37. The Bible says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol, it says, and honor the King of heaven, says, and all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. So God is the one that is able to help us in our individual life. Well, I tell you, I thank God for every police officer that's here. But can I tell you the thing that you can do for them that would be a great help is to pray for them. Amen. And pray that God will protect them. I've never seen it. I've never seen it. I'm 55. I'm going to reason with you. 55. But I've never seen America change so quickly as it has now. And as a citizen of America, my heart has been so, so broken. Because I see that, you know, in my day, you fellas would be heroes. You ladies would be heroes. But today, when people make fun of them and talk bad about them and try to be disrespectful, oh, that's not the America that I once knew. But in our group, in our church, our young people ought to decide that's just not the way it ought to be. And the ones that we run buses to, and I know we only run 9 bus routes, but there will be a day, I promise you for sure, there will be a day when we run 20, and there will be a day when we run 30. There will be a day when we bring in those from far and wide and down in the Dallas metro to be able to teach boys and girls the Word of God and teenagers and help to raise a society that ought to not just know that God and the Lord God and Jesus Christ is their Savior, but a day when we can reach in and be able to teach and be able to help and to be able to guide and have a part in turning our society back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can I tell you, listen, it is very important that we understand we have a prayer, hearing, and answering God. We have a God that is able to work in your life, no matter what the situation is. We have a God that's able to heal, and we have a God that when needs to be, He is able to humble us. Humble us. Humble us. Now, by the way, I hope that our pulpit, and we have some of the greatest preachers in America that come here to preach here for conferences, and we have pastors that come here, and all sorts of people that come here, but I hope that our pulpit will never become a pulpit where there's the arrogancy, and there's the pride, and it's all about no. It's not all about the man. It's all about the Savior of the man.
Amen.
As we point people to the Savior can change lives. When they receive Christ as Savior, as it did in my life, that journey now begins.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.